Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 20. Just kidding. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm going to share a brief devotional with you. We're going to read several verses, but I'm not going to preach much. But I want you to understand that God has given his people victory through praise. And we ought to praise him at all times. It's not just after we realize a victory, but even before the battle has begun, God gives victory through praise. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this was one of my favorite accounts in the Old Testament. And we're going to start at verse 1. And we just prayed, so we're going to jump right into the word. It says, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazen Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." So what happened was there was a multitude of enemies that were coming for Israel and Judah. They were coming for God's people. And Jehoshaphat knew they couldn't handle it. He recognized that the enemy was too great for them, and so he prayed and he fasted, and all the people came together to pray and to fast. They gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Now, I know a lot of times we don't realize we're in a war, but we are at war spiritually every single day, and we have a multitude of enemies that are coming after us. We are surrounded on every side by enemies. And so we have a multitude of enemies. They're coming. And we ought to recognize that we cannot win on our own. We need God's help. So the answer is to cry out to God. The answer is to fear, to set ourselves to seek the Lord, and to proclaim a fast and to pray. And so that's what he did. I love how it says that. He set himself to seek the Lord. In other words, he made up his mind and his heart. He resolved himself in his heart and mind, and then he acted on that outwardly by praying and fasting. Do you get that? You got to make a decision on the inside, but then it has to result in a change outwardly. You can't just say, I really ought to pray. You actually have to pray. You can't just say, I really should seek the Lord. You have to actually seek the Lord, and that's what they did. So now Jehoshaphat is praying, the people are praying, they're fasting, they're seeking God to help them against their enemies, okay? Now look at verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. Isn't that good? Just stop right there. Abraham, your friend forever. Man, that's good. Because he believed God. Okay. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If we, when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given to us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And I want you to get this. So now we have Jehoshaphat's prayer. He's praying. He's crying out to God. He's talking about the trouble that they face, but he's reminding God of his promises. He's saying, you said if we cry out to you in this place, then you'll hear us and you'll bless. And I want you to get this. Look back at verse 9. Because that was the covenant that God made with Solomon, right? When he built the temple and they dedicated it, he said, if thy people which are called by thy name shall humble themselves and pray and seek thy face and turn from their wicked way, then you will hear from heaven and will cleanse this land and will heal our land. So that was between Solomon and the people and their God. But guys, listen, there's a parallel for us today. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I love this. He says, before this house and in thy presence. His house is not the tabernacle or the temple. Is it? No, the temple's not even there. His house is you. And by the way, I know we pray this a lot. We pray, we'll say, thank you for letting us come to your house. This building is not God's house. We are. Everybody get that? It's us. His spirit is in us. We belong to him. And so we don't have to go to the airport, fly to Jerusalem, go to a bus to the old city in Jerusalem, and go up to the Temple Mount to be in God's house, because he's with us everywhere we are, and we can cry out to him. So there they are crying out to him. Look at verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Isn't that good? You ever been there? I don't even know what to do. I don't even know where to turn. I got so much trouble and so much stress and so much strife and so many problems. I got fears within and without. I got enemies within and without. I got all of this trouble and all this strife and everything's coming against me. I don't even know where to turn. I don't even know what to do, but you do know what to do. Look to him. Our eyes are upon thee. They looked to God. They cried out to God. That's exactly what you and I must do. Now look at verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jaleel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation and said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by this cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And it's so good. The Spirit of God shows up and says, listen, don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be dismayed. You don't have to be just amazed. You don't have to be out of your mind with worry. You don't have to be afraid or fearful or anxious. You don't have to worry, because the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. God's going to fight this battle for you. I got good news for you. Sometimes you feel beat up. You feel down. You feel like you can't win. You feel like you keep falling. You keep stumbling. You keep messing up. You struggle with these fears and anxieties and all of the things that we struggle with. And God says, you don't have to be afraid, because the battle is mine. And guys, the battles we fight day by day, they're the Lord's. We don't have to fight those battles. He fights them through us and by his Spirit. And so he says, you remember that? You've heard that before. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I mean, that had to resonate with them, didn't it? I mean, the God who parted the Red Sea and delivered them from Egypt, is this? He's still here and he's still doing the same work. He still has the same power. And he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now look at verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Let that soak in. He bowed. The people bowed. They fell on their faces before God, and they worshiped. Now, we're a little bit too prim and proper for that. And God help us for being that way. We're so scared that somebody will think there's something wrong with us or some sin in our life to get on our knees before God. They saw great victory because they bowed in worship. And I think sometimes we keep getting beat in the battle because we are too proud to fall on our face before God. They bowed in worship. They fell on their faces before God. The Levites, the children of Kohathites, and of the children of Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. So they bowed in worship, but they rose up in praise. You get it? I mean, I love that. But first, they're falling on their face to worship God, but then they're able to stand on their feet and lift their voices in praise. And that's exactly the way it ought to work for us. Listen, you've never gone on your face before God that he didn't hear you and didn't hear and heal you and bless you and save you and redeem you. When you bow before God, he's going to hear. And if we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So you go down to worship, but you can come up in praise. You lift up your voice and glorify your Savior because he saves. So there was a multitude of enemies coming. We don't have any power to save ourselves. We have to look to God. The battle is the Lord's. They bowed in worship, but they rose up in praise. And then check out verse, where are we at, 20? They rose early in the morning, went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall ye prosper." So believe and be established. Believe and prosper. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord won the battle for them. You go on to read, verse 23, "The children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, for they could carry more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much." So just get the picture. Enemies are coming more than they could possibly stand against. But instead of trying to get an army together or go try to ask help from another country or another king or try to hire somebody to fight for them, they went to God. And God said, "I'm going to win the battle for you." So before the enemy even showed up, they start singing praise to God for the victory that they haven't even seen yet. And when they start praising God, when they sing, God sets the enemies against themselves. These enemies came to destroy Israel and Judah, but what they ended up doing was killing each other. Can you even picture that in your mind? Like, they start fighting to the point, the Bible says not one of them escaped. That means that at some point it was down to the last two guys, and they must have like stabbed each other at the same time. And they all fall down dead. And Israel, who was about to be completely annihilated, shows up just to take the spoil from these armies that were going to kill them. It took them 3 days to gather up all the treasures that they left behind. Isn't that awesome? Our God will give us victory. He gave us victory. He gave them victory in their praise. When they praised God, when they sang praises to God, that's when they won the victory. I'm going to tell you today, I don't know what kind of battles you're facing. Listen, number one, Jesus already won the battle. He won the war for you to have eternal life. But I understand that in the meantime, we have all kinds of battles that we face between now and eternity. And we can praise him today for the victories he's going to give us tomorrow. You believe that? Amen. I don't even know what I'm going to face tomorrow, but he does. I don't know what the enemy might throw at me, but he's already given me victory. And I can praise him for what he's already done and what he's going to do. Let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing.